In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our Old Testament reading, 1 Kings, the third chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, who is the wisest person you know? Maybe grandma and grandpa? Mom? Dad? Maybe a brother or a sister? Maybe a friend? Maybe even a college professor? Some of you might think of a scientist, maybe Albert Einstein or Isaac Newton or Copernicus or Galileo. Others of you might think of a philosopher, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. Any of you thinking of a former pastor? Maybe someone in your past, but maybe even older. Someone like St. Athanasius, or Gregory of Nyssa, or Martin Luther, or Johann Gerhardt, or C.F.W. Walther. I know we're not necessarily readers in North Dakota, but maybe you're thinking of an author. Maybe Homer or Shakespeare. Maybe Tolstoy, maybe Dickens, maybe Austin, maybe Dostoevsky, something like that. Whoever it is, I'm confident that you have a good reason for selecting that person. And I bet that it follows one or the other line of thought. Either you selected the person that you did in your head because they made some impact on your thinking or on your life personally. Or you selected that person because they made an impact on society as a whole, making the world a better place in some way, in some shape, in some form. If you were listening to our Old Testament reading today, then you heard the answer of our Old Testament reading to that question. Who's the wisest person you know? King Solomon. God gave Solomon such wisdom that in verse 12 of our Old Testament, it is said, none that has been before you has ever been, and none that will ever come after you will ever be. What did God give Solomon that made him so utterly wise? You heard it in verse 9. Solomon prayed for an understanding mind. If you're a football fan, this is where the ref would go, flag on the play, boo, hiss. This is where language people would say, terrible translation. Understanding mind is not exactly what it says in the Hebrew. Solomon doesn't pray for an understanding mind. Solomon prays for a listening heart. That's the translation. A heart that actually listens to God's word and cares for God and his word, and a heart that listens for all of those under him, all of his subjects, listens to their needs, listens to their desires, listens to their wants, and serves them. That's what Solomon prays for. A heart, a listening heart that loves God and that listens and loves and serves his neighbor. That's it. And Solomon prays for this because he knows the history of Israel. The history of Israel, and you know it too, in the Old Testament, it is not one of a listening heart. It's one of a hard heart, a stiff-necked, stubborn people. When God led Israel out through the Red Sea on dry ground, not more than 3 days after drowning Pharaoh and his army in the waters, do you remember what the people did? They grumbled. They whined and complained at God. Why did you bring us out here to die? Oh, that we would be back in Egypt under slavery where there were onions and garlics and leeks. Oh my. They whined and they complained at God. When they were on their way to the promised land and arriving on the banks of the Jordan to take possession of the land, and God said, go up and fight these people and put them to death. They sent 12 spies into the land. And only two came back and said, let's do what God does. Wanted us to do. And 10 of them said, oh, we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. And they disobeyed. Hard-heartedly, they didn't go up and they didn't take possession of the land, so they got a consequence. 40 days of wandering the land, then you're going to wander in the wilderness 1 year for every day you refuse to listen to the word of your God. And then when they were out in the wilderness, they didn't listen to God. Their heart was hardened. He had to send fiery serpents. That's what that picture is all about. Fiery serpents, the judgment of God upon a hard-hearted people. When they were in the land, when they took possession, God said, worship me and serve me only. Do not listen to the foreign nations and the foreign gods. But Israel was hard-hearted. They worshipped Dagon and Molech by burning their children, their firstborns, alive on the altar. They worshipped by going up and engaging in temple prostitution with Baal and Asherah. You name it, Israel was a hard-hearted, idolatrous people. And the kings of Israel, they haven't been any better up to this point. First king, Saul, he was told when he walked into the land to put to death the Amalekites. And Amalek, even all the sheep and the cattle. And he has Samuel appear before him and he says, oh, Samuel, I've done everything that you've asked me to do. Meanwhile, in the background, you hear, and he's like, well, why do I hear livestock mooing in the background if you did everything that you were supposed to do? Saul, his heart was hard. He didn't listen to the Lord. David, a man after God's own heart, David did repent, no doubt, but let us not forget that David took another man's wife and committed adultery with her, Bathsheba, breaking the sixth commandment, and then he had her husband killed on the battlefield. Fifth commandment as well. Huh. Hard-hearted David in that time. And right before this, you know what happens? David's about to die. And one of his own sons, Abijah, decides, Dad's dying, I get to take the throne. My turn to reign, my power. So he seizes the throne. But it had already been promised to Solomon. So Solomon has to put his brother to death. That's Israel's kings. Israel has a history of a hard heart. No wonder Solomon prays for what he does. Give me a listening heart, a heart that loves God and His Word, and a heart that listens faithfully to serve my neighbor. And you heard it. God granted that to him. God, out of His grace and mercy, gave Solomon a heart of wisdom. And if that were too little, He added everything else to him. Riches that no other king of Israel had. You know the reality of Solomon, though, don't you? The sad reality is that even the wisest men fall into the most grievous of sins. Solomon is told, do not take a foreign woman as a wife. She will turn your heart to worship false gods. Seven chapters later, you know, we're told, Solomon loved foreign women. So he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. 700 wives and 300 concubines, and Solomon's listening heart was turned to a hard heart of stone. And he worshipped Dagon and Molech and Chemosh and Asherah and Baal. It would be tempting to stand here and sit in there. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you who have been married or are married, you know what I'm talking. It would be so tempted for you to look at someone and say, even if you've been in a relationship before, 700 women? Wives? I can't hardly keep up with one. 700? It is so easy to sit there or stand here and to condemn Solomon for his foolishness, even though he was a wise, wise man before this. But you know, you might not take 700 wives or husbands and 300 concubines. But I guarantee this, the idolatry that knocked on Solomon's door, it's so easily knocking on your door, isn't it? Alluring you, calling to you. God tells you you should fear, love, and trust in Him above all things. But how often do you worry and chase after what you think will be security? I gotta have this amount of land. I gotta have this amount of money, or I can't make it in life. And your whole life is ordered around that thing. And before you know it, it becomes your obsession and your God. And you have an idol. You might chase after the false god of health And wealth, yes, you gotta have it or you can't really enjoy life. It could be a relationship. I got to find myself the right man or the right woman, or I gotta keep the right man or the right woman, or I don't know what I'd do without them. If they died, my whole life would fall apart and I couldn't go on. You know, it's so easy to trust in the things of this world more than the things of God. And when your heart is turned, you know what comes out of a hard heart. Christ has already told you. Out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, sensuality, envy, deceit, slander, pride, foolishness. All of this comes out of the heart. A hard heart with sin. Yet even the wisest among us, even the wisest man in the world, can fall into the most grievous sin and abandon God and become a fool in his sight. Our wisdom is never enough to gain the kingdom of heaven. For that, you need the true wisdom from on high. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. St. Paul says that Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. And this Jesus, he listened to his Father's voice, leaving the throne and being born of a woman born under the law to redeem us who are under the law. He did. And there today you saw in the temple, what's Jesus doing? Is he not sitting and listening to his Father's word? He is listening to his word in his Father's house. Even out there on the wilderness for 40 days when Jesus is being tempted, does he, like faithless Israel, abandon the word of God? No, he has a listening heart. He has a heart that listens to his Father. He says, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Be gone, Satan. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Even if it, when it is most tempting, even if they are in the temptation, but even more on the cross, when the mockery is filling his ears, if you are the Son of God, come down from that cross. Even when it is most tempting to abandon his Father's word and come down from that cross to sheer agony and pain, he will not do it. He has a listening heart for his Father. He is obedient unto death, even death upon the cross. He listens to his Father. And he listens to you. He knows our greatest need. He acts in love for us. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so he does from the cross. He won't come down from that cross because it would mean your death. And God does not desire your death. He does not desire the death of a sinner. So with a listening heart for you, he pleads on your behalf to the Father. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. In love, he listens to you. The wages of sin is death. Yes, and so he dies for you. In your stead and in your place, he loves you with an everlasting love, even crying out, "It is finished." Where we are faithless, Jesus remains faithful, listening to his Father and listening to you, loving his Father and loving you, loving his Father with all his heart and all his soul, with all his might and all his strength, and loving his neighbor as himself. He does all of this, as St. Paul says in our epistle reading, so that you might gain the kingdom of heaven. That is, redemption through the blood of Jesus, forgiveness of all your foolishness and folly, all of your sins, and that you might receive the promised inheritance as an adopted son of God. That's the true wisdom from on high. Listening to his Father, listening to you. As I prepared this sermon for today, I thought about that first question that I asked you. Who's the wisest person that I know? I thought of you. I thought of each and every one of you. You are some of the wisest people I will ever know and I will ever meet in my entire life. Not because you've necessarily done something great and influential, given me words to live by. You have touched my life, no doubt. And not because you've done something great out there in the world. No, I listened to you moments ago. You are wise not because you boast in yourself, but because you boast in the Lord. You said, O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us. For his sake, grant us remission of all our sins. You are some of the wisest people of God I ever know, because you are the ones who fear the Lord. You are the ones who have a listening heart that loves God and serves your neighbor, given to you in word and in sacrament. You are wise because you fear the Lord and you trust in the true wisdom. And so you cry out, increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. You are some of the wisest people I know. You have a listening heart. May God grant you this listening heart always. A heart of repentance, a heart of faith, not that trusts in yourself, but that trusts in him and serves your neighbor, now and forever. Amen.